This week, Laurier goes to the polls to elevate one of their own to a position of leadership within the university. That's a big deal, right? Or is it? Today on the show, we're taking a look into the point of student elections and the importance of participating and being informed. Hello, Laurier. This is the Cordcast. As has been the case in the past few weeks, we have had some water damage at the office that has forced us to move where we record the podcast around a little bit, so you might hear some sounds that are unusual in the background, and I apologize for that. And it also needs to be said that the opinions expressed in this program are those of the individual speaking and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Cord or Wolusip or any of the staff or volunteers. Thanks. Enjoy listening. Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Cordcast, the Cord's weekly podcast. As always, I am joined by a panel of our editorial board. Can you guys please introduce yourselves?
I'm Denzel. I'm the creative director.
I'm Garrison Osterhoff. I'm the web director.
And I'm Natalie Bouchard. I'm the news editor.
All right, awesome. So we have a great issue coming out on Wednesday. Every Wednesday we put out a great issue, but this one is, it's especially great. There was a feature in this week's issue that I wrote about the last 10 years of presidents of the student union, because we do have the election at the school this week. What else is in the issue, Natalie?
In this week's issue, we have a volunteer from the Arts and Life section talking about poke bowls. He really enjoys poke bowls, but he's finding it a little bit difficult to navigate through the raw fish because he's not used to eating raw fish. But overall, he enjoyed the experience of getting poke.
Nice. And I think we've sort of talked about this here because nobody really seems to be aware, but a poke bowl is basically a deconstructed sushi, right? Is that correct? Like a bowl with fish and vegetables. Tanzil, you're giving me a...
That's what I've heard.
Okay. Yeah. All right, cool.
Is that anything to do with Pokemon?
I doubt it.
I wish.
I wonder what the etymology is there, though, right? Yeah. Because it's the P-O-K-E with the accent acute.
Yeah.
The secret is it's actually not fish, it's actually Pokemon.
Little slabs of raw Pikachu on there. Dark. All right, but anyway, what else is in the issue?
I'm really excited about our endorsement. I think it's really important to be involved in the student union election, and I loved our discussion the other day about who we should endorse, and I hope a lot of people read it and either disagree or agree with it, whatever that may be, but get more engaged in student union. Mm-hmm. And I think this helps do that, so it's really great.
Absolutely, and we'll take a little bit of a closer talk on that in a few minutes. But Tanzil, what else is in the issue?
Well, something really interesting is an article about visual impairment.
Okay.
It gives you sort of an insight about what someone with a visual disability goes through, and I think it's really interesting to hear things from that side because you don't really understand most of those.
Yeah, absolutely. Like problems with seeing?
Yeah.
Okay, which section was this in?
This is a new...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And who wrote that?
Sabina.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I'm getting up to date on the issue here too as well. And so we're going to move into our next section of the podcast, which we're just going to talk about student elections a little bit in general. Obviously, we have had our election issue last week, and we have 10 years of Wolusip presidents in this week's issue, as well as our endorsement. Do you guys want to talk about the endorsement at all?
Yeah, sure. So the endorsement was really interesting. We were able to take a really in-depth look at all the platforms of the four candidates and really kind of dive into what their ideas and what they want to do with the school is. So it was really interesting to get to kind of all collaborate and decide what we think is best. And you get to kind of dissect a lot of their ideas, see what's feasible, what's not. And it was a really good opportunity for us to get to know a lot about the candidates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was a valuable experience for us as the student publications, just because it forced us to interact with that material a little bit more, right? Mm-hmm. And that is something that is very important for student publications to be in tune with.
Do you guys normally participate in student elections at all?
Well, it is only my second year, so first year I wasn't really aware about the role or how it affects me in any way, so I did not really vote. But this year, being a part of the court and knowing so much more about the process, the platforms, the candidates, it's interesting to see how many people on campus don't actually know about this, even though it affects their life.
Right, absolutely. And just like you were saying, you last year, you weren't in tune with it, right? And
I was indifferent, yep.
Yeah, a lot of the candidates I'm hearing about a definite push towards informing people. Information is important, accessibility, transparency. Those are all important. Garrison, do you have any thoughts over there?
About student elections and student
hit us up with some of that Garrison intelligence. Let's go.
I've been noticing over the course of this week, because this week I have been really involved in the student election here. It's very detrimental what has happened in like high school elections. It's not a very big deal there. It's a popularity contest. It's ignored in general. And I think that's transferred over into student union university. The people I've had conversations with are like, no, that's just some silly thing. And then I'm like, no, they have a $10 million budget. They approve extensions to buildings. They interact with like your daily life on campus.
Yeah,
it's very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think a lot of people realize how important it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something I noticed. I didn't realize how detrimental some of the high school fluffy student union stuff was.
Right. So what sort of things should students be doing? How should students be involved? What should students be making themselves aware of?
They should take half an hour to read platforms and to get to know the candidates, see them on their campus in Waterloo and Brantford, and they should take 10 minutes to vote. That doesn't take a long time.
I also think that students should be approaching candidates as they kind of have booths and whatnot set up in the science atrium and the concourse and other areas of campus. Just approaching them, introducing themselves, and maybe asking them what a shorter version of their platform would be that the candidates can talk to students about. Because a big part of a president's job is to be interacting with students. So if you go up to a president and they're unable to interact with you, or if they are unable to kind of tell you what their ideas are, maybe that's also a big indicator of who not to vote for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And that is a very good point. When I see the candidates hanging out in the concourse there, for the most part, I'm like, I don't want to be pitched to. I'm taking the wide array around. I don't want anyone to try and talk to me. But at the same time, that is an opportunity for students to go and voice what they think is wrong, right? I mean, wasn't somebody tackling something to do with bad Wi-Fi on campus? And that's a very small but very real and very personal issue. And these are the kind of things that maybe we need to think about when we're considering student elections, right? These are the kind of things that we can bring up to people and talk about. Tanzila, do you have any thoughts there?
No.
Okay, excellent. That's all right. Anybody else, any other thoughts before we move forward?
I definitely think a lot of the issues that are being brought up in student elections, you wouldn't think that a student group can do so much change.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the things that they're saying, I'm not going to point out any candidates in particular, but a lot of things that are being said, you really think, you're like, whoa, like, can something be actually done about that? So it will really give also a good estimate to how much power that the students' union actually has.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There to check out, one of which Cheyenne Ann McDonald, our Arts and Life editor, is looking into the newest Justin Timberlake tracks to be released, because he is pushing out a new album next month. And he has released some somewhat controversial tracks. Have you guys listened to that music at all, Natalie?
No, I have not listened to that music.
Not at all?
No.
Okay. And
nope, I haven't listened to it.
Okay.
I did listen to it once, and I'm not a fan.
Okay. Now, is this something that you guys are actively avoiding here? Because, I mean, Justin Timberlake, he is an icon. He is an enormous star.
I didn't even know that. Last time I saw him was The Social Network, and he was like this little cameo, and I didn't even realize he was a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's interesting, because the latest tracks that he put out, when they first went online, they rose to the top of the charts, and then quickly dropped. Natalie?
I definitely think that Justin Timberlake has a lot of really cool, awesome music, but I'm finding his new stuff is kind of just going in the way of that, like, overly done, like, pop, almost, like, electric sound that I'm not really into. I just haven't been feeling a lot of substance from, like, a lot of his music, even from a few years ago. So I'm staying away from this album just because I've been disappointed and I'm not ready to be disappointed again.
Yeah, I feel where you're coming from there. And I can tell you that the first track that came out was called Filthy, and that was a little off-putting at first, but it grew on me. But the latest track that he put out is a collaboration with Chris Stapleton. Do you guys know Chris Stapleton?
Yeah.
No. You sound like you have thoughts. All right.
Well, he's like the pop end of country music, and I don't like that either.
No, he's not the pop end of country music. He is like the only person with success in mainstream pop country music that is a real country musician that writes real country music. Well,
he's from Georgia? Is that why you're saying that?
No, I'm saying it because he writes fantastic songs.
But he's not really country.
Oh, he absolutely is country, and I've had arguments about this with my girlfriend because she says that he's blues, which he's not.
No, he's not.
He is country. He's country, right?
Not really.
Right, Natalie?
You said country pop. You said country pop. This is the genre.
No, it's country. He is country.
Pop.
It's you know, pop is kind of an arbitrary label because it just means that it's popular.
Yes.
Chris Stapleton is one of the few people who is still playing country music today. And mixing that up with Justin Timberlake's sound, real country music, real country music.
You
look at the
strange
country
definition.
Okay.
He's forged by popular demand. He's forged by making songs that are popular to other people. There's other people, like Eric Church is like a real country artist. He's not forged by popular music.
You think
he's forged by his own vision for what he wants to talk about. And like, it just... He's a regular artist, making regular emotional music or whatever. Chris Stapleton is just making popular music. He's a country pop singer.
So, Chris Stapleton and Justin Timberlake did put out a track that was quite interesting. Chris Stapleton, of course, the big country music superstar. All right, and so obviously we have some mixed responses. Tanzil, you said you weren't into it. Garrison, you said you were avoiding it. Natalie, you say you've been burned by Justin Timberlake before, and you are not down for that to happen again. But I am an advocate for Justin Timberlake's new sound. I'm behind it.
But what I think is interesting about what you said is it did rise to the top of the charts and then just rapidly dropped.
Because people got tired of it real quick.
Yeah.
Like, it was all based on star power.
I was tired of it. It was only up there because Justin Timberlake has that name, and people just wanted to see what he put out.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, people were disappointed by it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it just, the only reason we are hearing about it is because he's famous.
Natalie, any other thoughts over there?
I'm just waiting for NSYNC to get back together.
Yeah, that would be all right. I was watching through a lot of the NSYNC music videos on the weekend, and they're a real trip. Great hair. Great hair those guys have. I'm a big fan. So let's keep moving on with the program. Let's talk about presidential dishes real quick. Now, Natalie, you went to Wilf's the other day, and actually, Garrison, you did as well, right?
Yep.
Can you guys tell me about the presidential dishes this year? And tell me what that is, first of all.
So the presidential dishes are dishes that Wilf collaborates with the people running for the presidential election. And they're dishes that kind of either reflect their personality or sound good with their name.
Mm-hmm.
So we had four dishes this year. One was Ali's Chicken and Waffles. Another one was Idris's Dish, and another one was Riley Fletcher's French Fries. And then lastly, what was the last one, Garrison?
Tariq's
Tacos.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tariqos,
okay. One of the few fun names. And I actually, looking at the editorial cartoon that came out last week that Alan did, I noticed that his proposed dish for Tariq was teriyaki trick chicken. Teriyaki. I thought that was very clever. I think that was a missed opportunity on the actual Wilf's menu.
That's true.
But how did you feel about those foods? Did they turn out well? Were they terrible? Was it a gimmick? Was it fun?
I really like Idris's dish. I felt that was a really good, something different. It was a really good dish that, you know, you're coming outside from the freezing cold. You just want something piping hot that's filling and that's substantial. And it almost felt like it would be something like your mom would make you at home or your dad or something. It felt like a really good, like, at-home dish.
What was the dish?
it was authentic and original in my mind. It was like a rice dish with some vegetables in, and then it had lamb in like its own sort of sauce and banana on the outside. And you're supposed to like banana, piece of lamb, rice and vegetables, one big bite.
Banana, that's interesting.
It was interesting.
That sounds good.
It was a unique twist.
Definitely unique.
But and everybody else just didn't really touch that. Like
it was just basic.
Yeah, basic.
They took somebody else's food. Yeah, like this seemed like a really unique piece that nobody would have heard of before.
And of course, we have that all up on the website, thecord.ca. There's a video. The Cord tastes the food, goes over it. You get to see them all. So definitely check all that out. What we're gonna do here, I would like each of you to well, in our hypothetical situation here, you're all running for president. And you are all going to pitch me your presidential dish. Now, I understand that this could be kind of difficult, so I can pause this here if you need me to give you a couple of minutes.
I just need to brainstorm G names. G foods. Is there any?
Oh, do we need a name?
Goat cheese?
Yeah. Wait, I have an idea.
Goat cheese.
Garrison's Gouda grilled cheese.
Can you repeat that, please?
Garrison's Gouda grilled cheese.
Okay, and can you tell me about that?
It's Gouda cheese for grilled cheese.
It's just what kind of bread? What any other kinds of cheese? We need the full details here. I'm the chef. I'm making your presidential dishes.
Rye bread.
Okay.
With Gouda cheese, pepper, and mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise instead of butter?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, interesting. Interesting. Interesting choice. So
Garrison's. It's a very Dutch touch because Dutch mayonnaise is big in Holland and Gouda cheese is big.
Garrison's Gouda grilled cheese is going to be the first one up on the menu. And Tanziel?
Well, I don't have a name for it, but it would definitely be my favorite dish from back home. It's called biryani. It's a rice dish with lamb.
Sayani biryani?
Yeah.
I don't know about that, but, but it is a slightly spicy dish, but I think the only reason I would go with that is because I wouldn't be very happy with going with something generic because I'm lost.
That's okay, you know what, I've got your name for you. You're going to put a piece of veal on there. You're going to call it Tansy Veal Sayani Biryani.
Tan Veals.
Tan veal sayani biryani.
Yeah.
I'm into it. Yeah. So definitely biryani from Tanziel. That sounds good. And Natalie?
It would be Natalie's noodles. I absolutely love pad thai and everything spicy. So it would have lots of vegetables, a really great like Thai peanutty sauce with like soy sauce and maybe like some teriyaki thrown in there too, all like walked together. So it'd be like a big stir fry with noodles. Maybe some chicken. If you're vegetarian, then skip the chicken. Or if you like other kinds of meat, throw that in there. Definitely would be a winning dish.
I gotta say, most of these sound much better than what's actually on the presidential menu. So I think the three of you should probably run for the student union next year.
Absolutely, this is a deciding factor.
Yeah. Just because of the
that,
food, right?
That's
the most important.
Qualifies
as, yeah, as we've talked about in the program, the most important thing about the student union president is that they have a good Wilf's menu item, right? But I'm getting hungry from your talk. We're going to end the program in just a few minutes. But as always, we are going to end the program with something good, which means you tell me something good from the past week, from your life, something that you have experienced, something that you've seen, something that you've heard, whatever, just a good experience that you'd like to keep with you or a good thought. For me, my something good, you know, on the weekend, I watched a lot of the Oscar movies. And I went out on Saturday afternoon, I beat the rain, and I went to see Phantom Thread in the Princess Cinemas by myself. I love going to the movies by myself.
Me too.
It was a good experience, I had a lot of fun, I enjoyed the movie, and I just love Oscar season, but that's going to be my something good, so we're going to move through to Tanziel, something good this week.
Well, more like the past 2 weeks, I've made a couple like big changes in terms of my lifestyle, just to move towards a healthy lifestyle, and I think that in the long term it's going to be beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Any changes in particular that you
feel
good
about? Well, just my circadian rhythm was all over the place recently because of just life.
Mm-hmm.
So sleeping well, eating well, working out.
Mm-hmm.
You're
starting to feel good about it?
I think I will.
Okay.
Soon. Not yet. I do miss my sleep.
Fair enough. And Garrison?
Man, I don't want to sound too, like, bad after that, like, good something good. But mine is rediscovering a video game, Skyrim.
Okay.
Or rediscovering it. I've had a lot of fun playing that recently.
Nice.
It's kind of
fun. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, it's fine. It's something good for
it's
yourself.
It is what it is.
Yeah, and Natalie, we come to you last because you've never been on the podcast before, so we'll give you a few moments to think there.
I actually know right off the bat. On Sunday, I went with my mom, my dad, and my sister. We went out to a really great cafe in Oakville, which is where I'm from, and we had brunch together. We sat down, we talked for like 3 hours just about our lives and what's going on. We got coffee, and then we were babysitting a dog. So we went back home, and we gave him a really long walk. And yeah, we just hung out all together, and it was really awesome. And it was really awesome getting to talk to everybody again. No one talked about work, no one talked about anything stressful. It was just like great conversation, really awesome banter, and it was great to be home.
It's awesome. And on that positive note, we're gonna end the program here. Thanks to all of you for coming on, and thanks to all of you out there for listening. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, send me an email at features@thecord.ca, and have an incredible week. All right, bye for now.
Big thank you to all the staff.